Welcome to the Main Street Minute with equestrian marketing expert India Wilkinson. This is the destination for all things equestrian, from horse sales, breeding, horse health, and a look into the intricacies of the horse business world. Join India as she dives in with industry leaders to discuss the challenging and rewarding lifestyle of being in the equestrian world. And get ready for the Main Street Minute.
Hi there, this is India Wilkinson, and welcome to the Main Street Minute. Today, I am super excited to welcome my friend, Vicki Treverton. Vicki and I rode together for years in dressage. We rode at the same barn and trained with the same trainer. And then when I started Main Street Market, Vicki had this fabulous business and we've been partnering together for a few years. So today we're going to talk about online shows, which I think is just the most brilliant concept. And I can't wait to kind of dive into this and see how Vicki started this and how it all works. So Vicki, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So happy to have you here. So just get us started with kind of what is Dressage Show Online, and then we'll kind of dive into the details.
It's basically like a live dressage show, but you film the video from your farm. So you enter online, choose which test you'd like to do, which level, which section you want to enter, and then you get a friend or a partner, whoever, to video the test as if they were the judge. So they have to stand just behind C so that you get a very similar experience to what the judge would see. Then you send it in. We send it off to the judges, who judge it and give you scores and comments as if you were at a live show. And then they send those back to me and I transcribe them onto the score sheet, and you get an email copy of your score sheet, which you can print off. So and then at the end of the show, we do ribbons and high point. We also have the rider and horse league points. So every time you get placed, you get points. There's lots of opportunities to get additional prizes. But that's it in a nutshell. We try and create a live experience, but from your farm.
I think it's brilliant. And I actually competed in one during COVID, which that was kind of my introduction. I think it was a show organization that could not run their show. Mm. So they decided to go online, and it was such a cool experience. I love getting the judges' feedback. It was actually a judge that I had known. And I knew she was pretty tough, and it was really cool to be able to be at my farm,
yeah,
and video it. And there was like no stress, which was really cool. So let's talk about, how did you decide to do this and how did you make a business out of it?
I did something similar when I was in England. I competed in, they've got an online platform in England. So I'd done that a couple of times. And then we moved over here and I was surprised how far I was having to drive to get to a schooling show. In England, I was really fortunate. I was only like 10 minutes from three really beautiful facilities. So when I came over here, and they would have shows like every month, so I was out a lot. And we came over here and I was just like, goodness, the way, it takes, to get to my nearest schooling show was an hour's drive. I was like, oh, that's crazy. I can't be the only one. I mean, we're in near Atlanta, so you think there'd be quite a few. So then I think we were flying over to the West Coast. And I remember looking out the window thinking, well, where do all these people go for shows? Because, there's a lot of land, and, where do they all go? So I started mulling it over, thinking, maybe I could recreate a platform over here, and spent a couple of months thinking about it, planning it out, what I wanted the platform to look like, how I wanted people to interact with it. And then it was sort of one of those go or no go decisions. And I decided, well, I'll just go for it. And, hopefully it will take off. It was quite slow to take off because it's a new concept and not everyone was on board with it or was used to doing it. So, it took a minute for it all to to sort of come together. And then COVID happened, and a lot of the live shows weren't able to happen. And so then, like you said, people turned to the online. And I think once people had done it and seen that you get, you get your scorecard, you get your ribbon, you get quite, a more relaxing experience, then people started switching more onto it. And we've just got busier and busier since COVID, which has been fun. It's been good. It's been nice to see that it's growing.
I mean, that's fabulous. And while you were just talking, I was thinking about, I'm so glad that you brought up the point about that's business owners don't really like to talk about that. And it is part of, can you hear me okay? But it is part of growing a business. And I see businesses that I see up and coming businesses all the time, and they get so excited and they're out there. And then the work really begins, the consistent work of sharing and fixing and doing, and you really have to have that stamina and that perseverance to be able to go through when you obviously really believed in this. And I it's been really fun to watch your platform grow so much. But something that I see too that I actually love about the online platform, because you can use it for a couple of things. And this is just my opinion, but part of the show series, say some people don't ever want to leave their barns. Maybe they don't have trailers, maybe show anxiety, maybe they work full time, and to get off of work on a Thursday, Friday is tough. I mean, there's so many cool things about it. And then I really used it at the time to just go through my test and see where the holes are, so that and I was comp you know, because I you and I competed together, and then when I was going to the recognized shows, I already had that feedback. It was it's such a brilliant concept. I really love it. So when you first started, I want to kind of go back to that. How did you get the word out? Like, how did you get your there we all have a first customer. How did you get your first customer?
My first customer was my friend Elena. And I used her as my guinea pig. She was my test guinea pig. I said, I need someone to enter as pretend I don't know you. So, we had, do we do everything over email? I said, I just need to see what you think as you go through the whole platform, and she was able to pick up little things that I hadn't thought of. She said, oh, some of it is not that clear. So we had to go back in and make it clearer. And so yeah, and then from there, because it is online, I've always done the marketing online. So it's always been through Facebook or Instagram, so that you get the people that are already used to being online. So they've got a little bit of know-how. We were very fortunate that I think it was year two or three. The USDF did a little piece about us in their monthly magazine, which was lovely. So that helped. And then it's really been word of mouth, which I like, because then the growth of the business was steady. I wasn't suddenly inundated. And because there are stress points that you find as you go through every show, you do get points where you can see the platform and the processes, like, oh, hang on, we're not starting to struggle, but it's like, right, okay. So I needed the build up to be manageable and actually quite slow, so that I could make sure that all the processes I had in place behind the scenes would support everything that was going on, and we weren't going to drop any of our customer service standards. As we've I have things like, where you'll get your test back within 5 working days. Well, in order to do that, I have to manage everything behind the scenes to make sure, one, that the judges aren't suddenly overwhelmed, and they their time scales are still manageable. and then like work with to make sure the riders are still getting their experience. So it needed to be quite slow. And then once it, I mean, we swapped platforms in 2021. I had to change the whole platform. The old website couldn't be maintained any longer, and that was another decision as in part of the business. It's like, well, do I stop? Because to build a whole new platform is very time consuming, and it was going to down just to me to do it. So I was going to have to build it and maintain it. And I was like, do I have the time to do that as well as run the business? So that was a bit of a, do we have enough business to keep going, or do we stop? And I was like, I would really miss it if I stopped. So I thought, no, I'll build a whole new platform, and we'll go from there, and I'll make it a lot easier, from my point of view, to update everything and try and make the customer's experience a lot more seamless, which I think I've done. I think it's a lot more straightforward, the new platform. But it's, you just have to really watch how much advertising you're doing so that you don't suddenly get a massive wave come through, which nobody can handle. So I tend to stick with Facebook, Instagram, word of mouth, and I also advertise with you guys, which is amazing.
Well, we love that you are partnered with us for sure. And it's so interesting, some of the things that you're talking about with that would be a point of a lot of people would just quit, when it got hard. And that's what people don't really see, especially with an online business, because I have the same challenges and we want our customer service, we want our customer experience to be the very best it can be. And sometimes, like you said, I mean, just thoughtfully growing rather than just trying to get the numbers in. It sounds like you and I are on the same page with that because I want my current customers to have the best experience and then we
Absolutely.
will talk about growing.
Yeah.
So
For me,
I like that.
it's never been about having some ridiculous number of people in the shows. It's always, to me, it's always been about what service am I offering? Is it the best service that I can offer? Because I think once, also, I think if you got into the, I've got to have so many entries every month that, I mean, you have to have so many to meet your bottom line. I understand that, but I've always come from the point of it's more about the customer experience than how many people are entering.
Right. And I think too, which sounds like you and I think the same way, you have one chance to make a good first impression. And it's so easy for someone to get, especially these days, they get frustrated and they just decide they're not going to use you again. And I, yeah, and it sounds like you are the same with, I always invite people to tell me, like, I cannot possibly predict with technology what kind of glitches are going to come up because truly just like with this Zoom platform that I'm on right now, all of a sudden my camera just decides not to work. I mean, that's not, it's just part of technology. And we certainly have had that with Main Street. And I always invite people to tell me and I thank them, and I know and I hate that they get frustrated, but I thank them because then we can fix it and keep going. And I it sounds like you're the same way with your customers. I do value their opinion so much.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just, in a bubble thinking,
Right.
oh, they're all having a fantastic experience. And then somebody will write in and say, I found this bit really difficult. And it's like, oh, okay. Right, let me go into and have a look at that process and see how I can make that easier for the customer. Because we also have a lot of like beginner barns that enter their students. Well, of course, the parents have to do the entry form, and I mean, dressage is tricky enough as it is, and then you add in all the levels, and I think, right, I've got to look at it from someone that has zero experience of dressage. How easy can I make this for them to enter so that they're not going, I mean, and also, but also because I see every entry that comes through, and I, you sort of kind of get used to it, you can spot where maybe a parent's entered and that's not the class the child wanted to do. They don't want to be at fourth level, no. They wanted a bit of intro. And then you just, then I can email them and talk to them and say, oh, well, this is how you do it. Here's a list of all the levels. It will make a bit more sense now. So you can interact with the
Love that.
customer more and guide them. Because my whole point with the online is it isn't to replace live showing. I just don't think you can ever do that. Live showing is amazing. What I wanted was a platform that encouraged the beginner rider, the rider that's a bit nervous, da, 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 to do the online, get the confidence, get the feedback, and then hopefully go and do a live show. Because to me, it's online showing should be part of the journey. If you've never been to a live show and you're nervous about a live show, well, then do an online show. See what the feedback feels like when you read it and you get your scores. Because it is, it's hard to go out and do something and then, have to read the feedback on it if it's not all positive. Do the fixes at home and then go to a live show and see. I mean, that's one reason that we have all our judges at LGRADS with distinction or USDF senior, and all the Western judges are the big R, which is the big recognised. Because then I know that all the feedback that the riders are getting, it is at all at a certain level. So when they go to a live show, there's not going to suddenly be a sudden drop in score because, oh, online, you get online points, you get an extra 20% just for doing it online. No, I wanted all of the scores to be the same as exactly the same as what you would get if you were a live show. So all my judges are told from the start, right, this treat this like a live show as much as you can. So all your scores, all your feedback. I mean, you do tend to get more comments because they're recording their scores, so they can go on a little bit longer than if it's just the scribe and the scribe's like, stop, I haven't got enough room. So you do tend to get a little bit more feedback. But I wanted it to be, I didn't want somebody to compete online, then go to a live show and be like, well, hang on a minute. At the live show, I was 68, and at an online show, I was 68, and at a live show, I'm 50. What's gone on there? So I'm very conscious of that, and the judges are as well, that they're giving good feedback that the riders can then go and use as part of their training.
The science behind this is so fascinating because that makes so much sense that you could use this as a confidence builder. You know, and like Kim used to always tell us, like as many times as you can get down center line, you know, the better and better, the more confident you feel and the more natural it feels to do that. And the investment in an online platform as you're gaining that confidence is, I mean, I don't know exactly how much your shows cost, but it can't be nearly what it costs to go to a schooling show and to get that first experience or second or any experience, you know, even as you're moving up the levels, why not go ahead and show a few times online, see where the holes are, and then you're not the time and the money, as we know, and the exhaustion level. I mean, they are fun for sure,
Yeah, but they're tiring. Yeah.
total of
Yeah.
21 minutes, you know, in the ring. Yeah, just it makes so much sense that you could use this in so many ways. So when you talked about the judges, how do you find your judges?
The USDF have a page on their website which lists all of the licensed judges, and it tells you what level they're at, if they're LGRAD with distinction or senior. And if they're technical directors and things like that. So I reached out to a few at the very, 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 very start to say, this is what I'm doing. I'm looking for judges. Would you be interested? First, I had a pool of about four, very, very small, because I didn't want loads, because I wanted to make sure that, because I was having to learn how to work with a judge online. I mean, I'd worked with judges in England because I was a show manager in England. So I'd done all the live managing of them. So I knew how to do that. But here it was like, well, how do I communicate what I need from them just online? Because I don't pick up the phone and talk to them. It's all email. Everything's email. So I learned a lot on that with my first four judges. And also the numbers were small, so I didn't want massive number of judges and I'm only sending them 10 tests. It's like, no. And then as we got going, I got a lot of the judges will recommend other judges that they know that they've spoken to about it and said, "Oh, this is what I'm doing." So I got a lot of the first big wave of judges was word of mouth, and then a couple of times a year I'll email out or put something on Facebook saying that, if you'd like to join the pool, we're looking for new judges, because I do like to vary the judges as much as I can to help the riders that show regularly, so they're not riding under the same judge every time. You want, although judges judge the same, each judge will pick or see something slightly different in each ride. You get that really good exposure to the different judges, which I think is important. If you are, you're wanting to fine tune a test, you don't want the same judge every time. You want a different judge to, in case they spot something different. So yeah,
Mimics
word
real
of
life
mouth.
too, our real competition life, because like when we're at a show, you need those scores from two different judges.
Yes.
Yeah, so I love that you have like followed that, and it really is more beneficial to the rider.
You do. You want, as much as we can. It's easier now that the business is bigger, to have different judges all the time. At the very beginning, we did have to repeat judges a couple of times through the year just because we were growing. But now we're bigger. I've got enough numbers that I can have, almost a different judge every show now.
Oh, that's great. I think that's really cool. So I would think from a judge's standpoint that they would love this. Like they don't have to leave their house and they can.
They do. I think they enjoy it. I think that the technology is always a struggle. Each judge has to find the way that they're more comfortable sending the scores and the comments back. And once we've done that, then they settle in. And yeah, I think they enjoy it. They come. They
I think
keep coming back.
that's always
No,
a
they
good
say they
sign.
enjoy it. And a couple of them compete with me. They enter the competitions when they're not judging. So that's
Yeah.
lovely that they think enough of us that when they choose to get some feedback, they come to us. So that's nice.
Oh, that's really cool. So they
Yeah.
also, some of your
Yeah.
judges actually enter the shows.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
So what disciplines, I mean, obviously it's dressage show online, but you do Western dressage as well, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we offer the Western shows. There are recognised shows. I worked with the WDAA a few years ago now to, they wanted to offer online showing. They run a lifetime point system, and they wanted to be able to have the riders accumulate those points via online as well, because it was like just coming out of COVID. And so I worked with them, having had the experience of running online shows, as to how you could make a show recognized. And that's why they have their test filming sheet. And at the end of the ride, the person videoing has to go round and show where the spurs are, show the spurs. And then the rider has to take the bridle off and show the bit. Because they were the bits that the Western Association were concerned about, was they wouldn't have the person on the ground doing the check as they came out the arena. So this was as close as we could get to replacing that. So that's been fun working with them. So a new discipline for me. I've never ridden Western, so it's been fun learning about that. And then the videos are lovely. They're completely different to the class, so they're fun to watch, and we get some really amazing outfits come through. Look, just like, wow, crikey, because we follow all of the rules regarding dress, and that applies to the classic and the USDF shows as well. But you don't have to wear, for a schooling show, you don't have to wear a jacket,
Right.
but you do have to wear a shirt or a top with a collar. Whereas the Western, I had to learn all of their attire, because it is slightly different. They have to wear a shirt and, trousers and stuff. So
I love their outfits.
yeah,
I
they're
mean,
cool. Yeah.
yeah, I think it's almost like pageantry where,
Yeah.
and they all want to be so different and unique, and I love it. I think that
Oh
would be
yeah,
so
you
fun.
get some really cool color combinations where they've
Yeah.
matched the shirt and the Western pad. It is lovely. It's nice to see it.
So tell me about like your prize list. How do you, and just kind of walk us through how that, so they're accumulating points and does that go, I know that you have high score and you have those kinds of year-end competitions. How does that all work?
So every show we place ribbons 1 to 6, and then we have high point for USDF, and then some of the other classes, some of the dressage show online, because we also have our own tests that we've designed. So we have high points for those. So every time you get placed, you get points. Those accumulate over our show year, and at the end of the show year, we award the top 6 horse and rider combinations for the league, and they get a championship ribbon and a sash, and they're very nice. And we do that for junior, adult, amateur, open, therapeutic rider, and then we also have the USDF Dressage Prospect in-hand showing. It's a big bit of a title, that one. We've got a league for the in-hand as well. So if you accumulate points for that as well. And then all of the points that you would gather through the year then feed into lifetime achievement awards. So we have bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. So when you I think when you've I think it's 100, and once you've got 150 points, you get your bronze award. And then it just goes, it goes up through the thing. So there People really enjoy that. They get really excited when they're near getting one of their awards, and it's lovely. They're like, they'll email me, "I'm only 6 points away from bronze." It's like, you can do it, come on. So that's fun watching people work really hard to get those. I wanted to offer the riders a reward for entering, can't you know, because it's not that straightforward. You've got to go out on the video, you've got to find the time, you've got to practice all of that. So I wanted to make sure that not only were they getting something from the show, but they could see their hard work building up. So the more that they were training and entering, then the more points they were getting, and then there was an opportunity to get additional prizes. And they do get really they the riders really like the achievement awards. It's always bubbling below the surface that, oh, I'm nearly there, I'm nearly there. And they're nice awards, they're lovely. And then also the year-end awards, I wanted them to, people work really hard. So it's like, right, let's make sure that, we reward them for that hard work, and we acknowledge how much they've competed with us, which is basically what it is. So and that gets very competitive, very competitive.
Feeds into those of us that really love the competition part of it. I'm very competitive with myself. I mean, I'm really not looking at anybody else, and I'm not really concerned about anybody else. But when I was actively showing, I really was all about just beating that last score or increasing points at a certain, at my halt or,
Oh
something,
yeah.
So I think that it's really cool that you do that to kind of feed that the people that want to be competitive because, I love that. So tell me what your favorite part is about what you do. What's the most rewarding thing?
The most rewarding thing is watching a rider that struggled get better, get their confidence back, and do a show. I've had some emails where it's a little bit heartbreaking, and I just want to help them. I always think you should encourage with dressage. Dressage is hard enough. You don't, let's encourage people. You don't need to put them off. So we had a rider that had entered a show. She'd filled in her entry, sent it in, but then she'd had a bad fall, and she was emailing me to scratch. And I said to her, I said, read her email, and I was just like, I've got to help her. This is if the boot was on the other foot, I would love it if somebody would like help me through this crisis. She was just having crisis with her confidence. She was just, oh, the email was really, it was quite sad. And so I just wrote back to her and I said, look, I don't want you to scratch from the show. I said, why don't I write a test for you that is just walk? All you've got to do is walk down the center line, do a halt, walk a 20-meter circle, cross the diagonal, do another 20-meter circle, and then do another halt, all in walk, all in walk. And I will put that in the competition. And she was like, oh, I think, yeah, she wrote back and she was like, really? I think I might be able to do that. I said, well, let me write the test. I sent it to her and she did it. And you saw the video, and you can tell by somebody's body language how nervous they are. and she was all hunched over, but she did it. She did it, and she came, or she came first because she's the only one in it. But so she got her prize. She got feedback from the judge, and I said to the judge, you know, this is what's happened, but give her feedback that she can work with. You know, needs to be more forward. You know, all of those. And it was lovely watching her go from that place to then being able to. She wanted a test with a little bit of trot in it, so we did that, and so that's how we ended up with all the tests that I've written. Is there's always somebody behind them that's needed something, little bit bespoke, and then I just put it out there for everyone to do it. We had an adult rider that didn't want to ever come off the lead line, but wanting to enter. So I was like, well, that's fine. We'll do a lead line test for an adult. I'm, you know, I want to encourage you. So it was wonderful. This girl went from just doing a walk test, and then she got to training, and it was really lovely watching her journey. And she was so excited every time she entered. And she would have setbacks, you know, and you maybe have to, you know, drop down a level just to sort of get her confidence back again. But she kept going, and that was really, really lovely to see that. So that's my favorite bit of it, is helping the people that wouldn't do it at all, because you wouldn't get that at a live show. You can't just go and do a walk test and get your confidence, and that's the bit I enjoy.
Actually, and something like that could be detrimental to somebody's confidence. You
Yeah,
know, I mean,
yeah.
you may never go back. I mean, that kind of impact, Vicki, is huge. I mean,
Yeah.
that's life-changing for somebody. That's really amazing.
I think the best story we've ever had was a lady wrote, and said that she'd got an old horse, older horse. He wasn't actually that old, but she was having to retire him because she couldn't get him on the trailer to go to a live show. And they'd always shown, and she'd always been really competitive. But she said he'd got a condition that meant he couldn't travel anymore. So she started entering the shows, and they thought at one point that the vet had been out, and it wasn't looking brilliant. He was really struggling, and they started training and entering our shows. And she said the more they trained and the more they entered, the better he got. He seemed to like really perk up, and the vet came out 6 months later and didn't recognize the horse. So that was he just needed a job. He wanted his job back, and she wanted to be able to compete again, but you know, she couldn't leave the farm, and so she did our online, and she sent me this wonderful picture of her at the end of a season where she'd competed a lot. She'd done really, really well, and it was just, you know, her and the horse, and then all her ribbons that she'd won from the regular shows and the championship. It was a really cute picture. But to know that you're helping somebody, you know, still use their horse and still have that reason to, you know, to get in the arena and practice, and that is, I love the fact that's out there and that's happening.
It's amazing because they purpose, and that's what we all want, you know. And like you said, our horses, especially that have been doing that for a long time, you know, when they go into retirement, sometimes they get depressed because they don't feel
Oh
that
yeah,
purpose.
yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for
Thank
being with
you.
us today. This was amazing, and I love working with you, and I know you personally, and I know you have such a huge heart, and it's just really exciting how you've grown this into such an incredible platform and are helping so many people. It's really cool.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it. It's a nice business to run.
All right, well, thank you all for being here on the Main Street Minute, and we'll see you next time.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please let us know. Email support@mainstreetmarket.com. Please share and join us again next week for another episode of the Main Street Minute, right here on the Equus Radio Network.